day. I have a preamble of the meeting. If anybody would like to hear it, I'd be happy to read it. Otherwise, we can move on to business. Anybody raise their hand or would like to hear it? Thank you. We have some blue cards, speaker cards, that were outside. If you would like to speak, please fill one out. If you don't, you won't be able to speak. Thank you. Okay, I want to move on to the agenda. And the agenda is composed of notices and proclamations and acknowledgments. There are some items on the agenda for removal, which I'll get back to in a minute. There's items to be withdrawn. There's a consent agenda, old business, regular business, presentations, and other business, and adjournment. I'd like to hear a motion to approve the agenda.
So move.
Second?
Second.
I guess we'll vote on that. Please vote. I neglected to do the Pledge of Allegiance and a bit of a sermon from our chaplain. So if you all stand, please, for invocation.
We thank you, O Lord, for the many blessings that we receive. We thank you for looking after us as your people. Give us the desire, the hope, and aspiration for our officials of the U.S. of America, and to also the ones here in Savannah, Georgia, look on our servicemen, make them whole and return them home. We ask you to look on us with your many blessings. In your name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please proceed.
Did you get Mr. Mackey?
We have the next item under the agenda is notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. We have one notice that's a planning meeting at 1 p.m. Arthur Mendoza Room, State Street, on May 23rd. Moving on, items to be requested or removed from the final agenda are items 3, 4, 5, and 6, 7, 8, and 9. Be back up a minute. Items that have been asked to be removed and reheard are 3 and 4 on June 6th. 5, 6 are to be moved to the meeting on June 27th. Items 7, 8, and 9 moved to June 6th. Is there anybody here to speak on those items? Hearing none, we'll move ahead. I think we need a resolution, do we not?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'd like to entertain a motion to...
I'll make that motion.
Motion's been made, do I hear a second?
Second.
Second, okay, let's move on to the vote then, please. Start to move a little faster here.
Periphery, I really need to hear my answers cut off. I saw, I mean, when you're looking at your page, does it get blurry on either side?
I don't see the whole page.
Oh crap.
Pardon?
Did you vote?
I tried to, I can't.
He got it, George.
My fault, excuse me. The vote is unanimous, moving on. On consent agenda, which is the next item, we have two items. One is the briefing and minute meetings of April 25th. And then we have the authorization to authorize the interim executive director to sign a memorandum of understanding with the CRC. Any questions on that issue? Entertain a moment to approve the consent agenda.
Mr. Baldwin?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Baldwin? I don't have a question.
I ask for a motion to approve.
Did you have a question?
No.
Okay, well, I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I have a second. Motion's been made and seconded. Let's move on to the vote, please. Motion passes.
Don't want it.
There is no old business, as far as I know. Moving on to the regular business agenda, item number 12, which is zoning text amendment. And Mr. Trawick will, from staff, will lead the discussion. Mr. Trawick.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. The first case is the MPC staff text amendment to adopt the A1 agricultural zoning district and the associated development standards as well as permitted uses. The intent is to incorporate a zoning district that collectively allows many uses within the same area, particularly the residential or recreational uses, some health as well as agricultural uses. The intent is also to establish a new use, which is not current in the zoning ordinance, to establish a new campground and RV park use that specifies allowed accessory uses that are attractive for more destination camping uses, which have grown interest in the city as of recent. A little background on the A1 district is most comparable to the RA county zoning district. The RA represents residential agricultural. Both zoning districts actually permit similar uses and development standards, and land uses are typically less intensive than compared to more commercial or industrial uses. Some of these include similar setback requirements, height buffer requirements as well. Some more intensive uses, such as the BG or the IL, typically have greater setback requirements, do not include height standards and things of that nature. The RA and the A1 also allow for less intensive agriculture and conservation land use districts. That is appropriate within the more rural areas of the city as well as the county. The A1 is proposed already in the new zoning ordinance and will establish many of the existing RA CO zoning districts, as you can see in this map right here. Many of them are actually located in the westward expansion areas. The CO suffix under after the RA actually represents that it was annexed into the city, but it still applies county zoning district standards as well as development standards as well. This issue can often lead to conflict in land use patterns when you have a county district in a city, as well as promoting an inconsistent amount of development standards, as well as permitted land uses, particularly in the western expansion areas. The RACO districts, however, are also seen as more of a placeholder zone and oftentimes have been rezoned to more industrial commercial uses, particularly since they are in most of the larger areas of the county or at the city. For example, a 380-acre site located about right here was rezoned from the RACO to BG in IL 2009, which would not be more rural in nature. Also, about 4,000 acres up here was rezoned and became a PUD. A1 district could allow more recreational agriculture and residential uses primarily in not just this part of the city, but in other areas, as you can see, that's proposed by the new zoning ordinance. The A1 district will also permit a new use not found in the current ordinance, particularly with campgrounds and RV parks. RV park uses and campgrounds have become of interest recently. While campgrounds are not identified anywhere in the zoning ordinance, the only place where RV parks are identified is in the BNI use schedule, which are more intensive zoning districts, particularly with the BH, IL, and IH zoning districts. And in those instances, RV parks are only allowed when accessory to a motel use, so it's not solely permitted in more rural areas, which usually they often are. The RA, again, is similar to the A1. It permits campsites, but is vaguely defined in county zoning ordinance for what accessory uses would be permitted, especially when referring to an RV resort or more destination-type uses, which are becoming more new to Savannah, and they offer many amenities as well as activities for those particular uses. The A1 would be more specific in describing this. Adopting the A1 would establish a smooth transition of permitted land uses and districts from the RACO, since that would take the A1 would become the predominant land use from those RACO districts, as well as some conservation uses. It would also reinforce city development standards in a portion of the city that was annexed into the city but has county standards, so it'd be more consistent in that nature. And given that the A1 would encompass many of the of these zoning districts, this would be proactive to go ahead and introduce these standards. And it would also follow the city CNR use schedule to establish specific use conditions as well. The A1 could also limit some the creation of PUDs in the area. PUDs are good for establishing more innovative design and development. However, they oftentimes develop their own standards as well as their own zoning districts that may not be consistent with surrounding land uses. We also want to try to limit the amount of PUDs prior to the adoption of the new zone. And overall, we feel that the A1 district would promote mixed uses related to residential, recreational, health, and agriculture in the same area. And it could also encourage some of these uses, possibly health-related uses, to locate in this predominantly rural area, particularly in the westward expansion areas. So some of the amendments that we're proposing are, in fact, the campground, recreational vehicle park uses. Again, we have seen some interest in developing more destination camping in the city of Savannah, and so this definition would reflect that. It would only be for temporary lodging uses, and any accessory use on the site would be only for guests that are registered at that campsite. We also would establish the A1 agricultural zoning district definition to establish agriculture areas to be developed in a manner consistent with the retention of agriculture and forestry. It would also include certain non-agricultural uses that are customarily found in rural areas. Along with that, we would also ask to adopt some scheduled development standards. Again, this is proposed in the new zone. as well as setback requirements, maximum height, building coverage, buffer requirements that would be more consistent with the city standards. Again, with the zoning district, you have to have permitted uses. With the A1, we would have single-family residential, and I'll just go through this very briefly, manufactured home park, churches and other places of worship, some health facilities such as group care, personal care homes, adult care, child care, animal veterinary clinics, some civic and educational uses such as schools, and probably the most relevant in this instance would be recreational uses, such as you could have a golf course, you could have facilities for fishing or boating or hunting or swimming. In this instance, we are wishing to adopt the campground recreational vehicle park use and its associated conditions. For example, temporary lodging purposes, it should only be for temporary lodging. It cannot be on less than 5 acres in size. It cannot be permanently fixed to a ground that would support a manufactured home development. And they can also promote more outdoor storage on the site as well. And along with those list of uses, we're also looking to be consistent with the city zoning ordinance to implement standards specific to freestanding sign heights, as well as sign area that could be established on the site, as well as regulations for the directory sign standards. So staff is recommending approval for all these amendments, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions of staff? Hearing none, I have no blue cards for anybody from the audience. We wish to speak, okay. And I guess we bring it to board approval. I have a motion for board approval of staff's recommendations.
Second.
I have a second. Please proceed to vote. Motion passes. On to the next item, which is item number 13, zoning map amendment 275 for Argyle Road. Troy, I believe you are the staff member to report on this.
Yes, sir. The petitioner is Robert McCorkle. He's representing Audemont Land LLC. They're wishing to rezone 102 acres located at 275 Fort Argyle Road from the RACO Residential Agriculture Annex Zoning Classification to the A1 Agriculture City Zoning Classification to allow use 32B campgrounds and recreational vehicle parks. The RA Zoning District's purpose is to protect those rural areas of the urban expansion areas of the county for future urban development and protect certain rural highway roadside areas against strip development, which can lead to traffic congestion. Some of the uses that can be permitted in this RA zoning district are single-family residential, churches and other places of worship, childcare, country clubs, and medical centers. The intended A1 zoning district is established to allow agricultural areas to be developed in a manner consistent with the retention of agriculture and forestry uses to preserve the rural character of particular areas. This district may also include certain non-agricultural uses that are customarily found in rural areas. Some of the uses that can be permitted in the A1 are similar in single-family residential, schools, campgrounds, and recreational vehicle parks, agricultural produce stands, and other uses. Again, this property is located south of Port Argyle Road. It is annexed in 2015 and has retained its county RACO zone classification since then. During this time, a general development plan, or GDP, was submitted and approved by the Planning Commission to allow use 40B or camping sites. The former zoning administrator determined that the proposed use and the accessory uses that were proposed on the plan would be permitted under this use and under this county zoning classification. All accessory uses, again, would be allowed on site and have been proposed to only be allowed for guests that are registered at this particular site. At the time of the GDP, some of the associated accessory uses were recreational facilities, general stores, boathouse, cabin sites, tent sites, and RV sites. The petitioner now wishes to add additional uses than what was permitted under the approved GDP, specifically related to a restaurant, possible spa, and dedicated event space, for example. If able to get rezoned today, the petitioner would have to resubmit their amended GDP or a general development plan for site plan review process to be reviewed by city and MVC staff. And along with this, any proposed development or additional uses on the site would require additional building permits as well. Overall, the petitioner wishes to establish an RV resort type use or RV park that provides guests with an inclusive destination camping experience that offers many amenities and activities. RV resorts, as I've explained, are new to the Savannah area and are usually found in more popular destination parts of the country. They often offer shuttle services to and from popular spots, full-service hookups to RVs and trailers, general store, restaurants, recreational facilities, and provide a low-budget temporary lodging option for people visiting the Savannah area. Given that the GDP and the former zoning administrator's interpretation for what accessory uses could be allowed, as well as the nature of the additional proposed uses on the site, the petitioner wishes to rezone to the A1 Agriculture City Zoning District to apply city standards and to apply specific use conditions and criteria for accessory uses. Overall, the A1 district would support and allow similar uses as to what's currently allowed in the area and surrounding RACO districts, and therefore would not create detriment for some of the surrounding land uses. Traffic would not be dissimilar to what is currently permitted in the RA zoning classifications at the time that the GDP was actually approved. GDOT actually looked at the plans and determined that a traffic impact analysis would not be required. And along with this, the rezoning to the A1 would be consistent with agriculture forestry land use classification. The proposed use and zoning district would also offer recreational opportunity for both guests and residents, and the RA district could ensure that less intensive uses and consistent development standards are maintained, especially in newly annexed parts of the city.
Was this supposed to rain today?
Here's some just additional photos. It's currently under construction right now under the former GDP. Here's public notice. Again, staff is recommending approval for the rezoning of 275 Port Argyle Road.
Thank you. Any questions of staff? Hearing none, we'll hear from the petitioner.
My shortest presentation ever, perhaps. My name is Robert McCorkle with law firm McCorkle & Johnson, representing the petitioner here today. I just wanted to take a minute to thank staff. This project's been going on since 2015. It's currently under construction. It was annexed into the city for this specific purpose. The site had some issues. My client has remediated a former construction landfill on the site. He has also, through a water and sewer agreement with the city of Savannah, pulled water and sewer more than 3/4 of a mile down Port Argyle Road, which will now be able to service everyone else who's on Port Argyle Road going down in the service area around him. And so this has been a project that the city's been behind from the beginning, and staff's been very helpful. They put a lot of hard work into getting this ordinance drafted so that we could be here today, and I just wanted to thank them. I'm happy to answer any questions anybody has.
Any questions of the petitioner? Hearing none. I have no speaker cards, so we'll move to board discussion. I'll hear entertain a motion for approval or disapproval.
Motion to approve staff recommendation. Second.
I have a motion and a second. Please go to the board to vote. Motion passes. Next item is item number 14, text amendment. This is a request to amend the density and parking requirements for the upper story residential use in the VC district, zoning district. And I think Ms. Moore is going to present for the staff, please.
Thank you. Just be able to bring this up. Thank you. The applicant, Looking Good Properties, is requesting a text amendment to allow the density within the BC Community Business Zoning District within the historic district to be reduced and to amend the off-street parking requirements for the upper story residential use. Upper story residential is one or more residential units above a non-residential ground floor unit. And that particular use was approved by City Council back in 2016 to be placed into the BC district within the historic district. And I have a map here showing the area of the historic district. It's identified in the red and black line here. It extends down to from Gwinnett Street all the way up to the river, over to West Boundary, and to East Broad Street, this location here. The area that you see in green is the BC district. That district has existed within that area since probably the early 1960s when zoning was adopted by City Council. And it hasn't changed since that time. And this particular district exists elsewhere in the city. So because of that differentiation between the historic district and suburban areas of the city, we have identified BC specifically within the historic district that these proposed amendments would apply only to these areas. Currently, the density requirement for upper story residential is 600 square feet of land area per dwelling unit, which means no more than 70 units per net acre. Net acre means the car area, the driveway, parking area, less the total area of the property. So that kind of creates a hindrance to creating more residential downtown. The net acreage, the fact that we only limit it to 70 units. The upper story residential, by removing the density or reducing it, we can have more residential units. And that's certainly a goal of the comprehensive plan. And that's been identified in the new zoning ordinance as well. The applicant has requested 435 square feet per unit, which would bring this to about 100 units per acre. But staff is recommending an alternative proposal that we eliminate density altogether and instead have a minimum floor area requirement per dwelling unit. And that would be 450 square feet. And that was done based on a little bit of research that we did for the new zoning ordinance. So again, there would be no density, but the cap would be set by the square footage of the dwelling unit, also the building coverage, the height, and the off-street parking requirements. In addition to that, because BC is more of a suburban district, we want to be careful with what ground floor uses would be appropriate for the downtown district. So we've identified what they would be, and these are more broad categories of uses, not individual specific uses. So things like warehousing wouldn't be appropriate, adult entertainment, vehicular sales or repair would not be appropriate. So we've identified what we felt would be more compatible with the historic district. So another thing that we are recommending, and the applicant's in agreement with this, is that we expand this to the BG district as well. And this map shows here that in the northwest portion of the historic district, we have a small area zone general business This is actually a more intense commercial district than the BC, and that's probably based on the uses that have been there for years, more industrial, light industrial, heavy commercial related. So we're recommending the change that this particular upper story residential use also be permitted in BG, subject to these conditions. Additionally, we've had to address development standards. Again, the alternate recommendation is that there be no density. It would be based on the dwelling unit size. The lot area would also be eliminated as well. Now, for off-street parking, there are a couple of suggestions here. One thing we'd like to do is correct an issue that we've had, an ongoing issue with the RAPB1 and RAPBC districts for one off-street parking space, and these are typically in the more residential areas of downtown. Have very little of that. Here's RAPBC here, area around the Hilton Hotel, and RAPB1 is somewhere, they're right here. And again, in that general area. And most of this area that you see here, RAPA, RAPA1, it's already one off-street space. We wanted to go ahead and correct that. One place where we differed from the applicant had recommended also that for dwelling units within the BC district, that it be one off-street space per unit. And we somewhat agreed, not completely, so we do have an alternate recommendation here, that it be one off-street space per dwelling unit. For efficiencies, one and two bedrooms, but for three or more bedrooms, that it be 1.5 space per dwelling unit. Typically, what we're seeing downtown with apartments is that they're shared by non-related people, so they're likely more likely to have their own vehicles. So we believe that half space would be necessary. Another thing that we've done for the West River Street area, there is a parking reduction that was suggested recently that residential be reduced by 50%. We believe in that area that it wouldn't be appropriate to have the reduced parking and the 50%. So we've identified that the West River Street reduction would not be appropriate, would not apply. And then we've also identified the fact that the option to go for that additional bonus floor within the historic district, one of the options is to do active ground floor uses, and that really shouldn't be an option for upper story residential when upper story residential already requires non-residential use on the ground floor. So we want to make clear that in the BC district and the BG district downtown, that option would not be available to a developer. So basically that they're not double dipping. So these recommendations were run by the applicant and they do agree with them. They're not specifically what they requested, but they are comfortable with them and do agree. So with those changes, we are recommending that the text amendment go through.
Thank you. Any questions of staff? Hearing none, we'll hear from the applicant.
For the record, my name is Harold Yellen. My goal is to speak less than Mr. McCorkle did before me. I'm doing my very best. We agree 100% with staff recommendation for approval. Behind me are Mr. Harley Krinsky, Fred Krinsky, and Ian Smith, who are the petitioners who are happy to answer questions y'all may have. Bottom line is the BC zoning district and the historic district is not user-friendly or residential. What we've submitted is an attempt to make it residential-friendly. Although the things being recommended by staff are not identical to what we requested, we're comfortable with both the suggestions given and the reasons behind them. So with that, we do support staff recommendation and we're happy to answer any questions. Thank you all.
Questions of the board?
McCorkle, please. Easy there.
You think more people than I did, huh?
I don't want to open it to board discussion, if any. Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
A motion to approve. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Have a second. Please vote.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Smith, I have to step out and make a phone call, so he's not available right now.
Okay, thank you for that. Let the minutes reflect that Mr. Smith had to step out. Motion passes. Next item is number 15, zoning text amendment, request to amend the ordinance to permit use number 65B, restaurant, sit-down or cafeteria which does not serve alcoholic beverages in the RIP-D zoning district. Mr. Watson, staff report, please, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. The petition before us at this time is a text amendment, a proposed text amendment to the zoning ordinance. The petitioner is requesting to amend section 83025A, which is the use schedule, to permit use number 65B, which is restaurants which serve alcoholic beverages within the RIPD zoning classification. As you all know, the various RIP districts make up the most of the mixed-use residential zoning classifications in the historic district and have been quite successful in their nature. The RIPD district was created in 2010 with the purpose of creating another district that would permit more density than was permitted under the other RIP classifications. In the other RIP districts, a maximum of 70 units per acre are permitted, and in the RIPD, a maximum of 100 units per acre are permitted. That came about when there was an effort being made to redo the what is now the Savannah Law School for multifamily residential. That project did not happen, as you all know, and it eventually became the law schools. And although this is a text amendment, I do want to, just for the sake of context of the discussion, show this one map that shows the RIPD districts that exist within the city of Savannah. The petitioner for this text amendment is a owner and operator of an existing restaurant on Abercorn Street, which is located here. And he currently has a restaurant which is permitted to serve beer and wine. His restaurant is not permitted to serve beer, wine, and alcohol because of the difference in the uses that are permitted in the RIPD district versus some of the other RIP districts. This is the Savannah Law School property, as you can see here, which is on the RIPD, and several vacant parcels just south of the law school. The petitioner, who whose property is between Huntington Street and Huntington Lane, as I mentioned, operates a restaurant at that location now, has for some time, and there's been restaurants at that location previously to his ownership. And the petitioner's agent has brought forth this petition, and staff agrees that the RIPD and C and B1 for that matter, zoning districts are very similar in nature in terms of the uses that are permitted as well as the standards, and that this is a somewhat of an outlier to permit a restaurant that serves beer and wine here, but not beer, wine, and alcohol. We don't see a substantial difference. Staff does not believe that the change of this use would have any negative effects in terms of the zoning district itself or the development pattern or the intensity of use for the property. So based on those findings, we're recommending approval to amend the use schedule to permit use 65B in the RIPD zoning classification.
Any questions of staff? Hearing none, we'll hear from the petitioner. If you'll let you get a chance to speak even shorter than you do.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Harold Dillon, sitting behind me are Chef Gary and Heather Perez, who are the owners of the restaurant. The hardest part of this presentation will be pronouncing the restaurant correctly. Cucopazzo. As Mr. Lawson mentioned, it is zoned RIPD. They would like to serve alcohol in addition to beer and wine. There were two choices available, either to rezone the property to something not contiguous or to do a text amendment. And we consulted with staff and we felt this made the most sense was to make the RIPD like the other RIPs that allow for the serving of alcohol. With that, one other item, I have a petition signed by 20 folks, our neighbors, who are all in support of this petition, and I'll be happy to make that part of the record.
Please do.
Thank you very much.
Any questions of the petitioner? What's on the menu?
It's really good.
Come forward, tell us what's on the menu. Looks like a lot.
Could you introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Gary Langerman. and we have the restaurant Coco Pots on Abercorn. And the Italian food is on the menu. A lot of veal dishes, chicken, seafood.
And you're open now?
We're coming. We are open. We've been open for 4 months, 5 months, roughly. It's been going very well. We love Savannah. We've got five locations since we've gotten here.
Super. Okay. So,
Savannah's been absolutely amazing. I've lived in Charleston for 22 years. I've done restaurants there. I still have one there. I went to Hilton Head, happened to come to Savannah. And Savannah's like Charleston 20 years ago, which I fell in love with. And I was like, but now Charleston is very busy. Savannah is still nice. Everybody knows everybody. It's laid back. It's wonderful. Right. I love it.
Well, welcome great to town. Savannah. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Any questions of the petitioner? No? Okay, I'll open up for board discussion. Hearing none, I'll take a motion to approve.
Motion to accept. Staff's recommendation.
Okay. Okay. Motion has been approved and seconded. We'll go to the board to vote, please. Motion passes. Moving on to item number 16, which is a zoning map amendment at 421 Jefferson Street, DC to RIP-A, which is a little less than 2.2 acres. And I think we're going to hear from Mr. Butler. Please proceed, sir.
Thank you, sir. This is a petition to rezone 0.19 acres at 421 Jefferson Street from the current BC and RIPA to a consistent RIPA. Subject site is located on the west side of Jefferson Street between Berrien and Taylor Streets and consists of two lots. It's actually this lot and this parcel here. The subject site is located is within the Landmark Historic District. The existing building on the site, which you see the rooftop of here, is not a contributing structure in the district. Petitioner is proposing to raise the existing building and construct 5 townhomes on the parcel. You see the existing site as it stands, and this is what the petitioner is proposing to construct 5 townhomes. This proposed use is not permitted in the BC zoning district, which applies over most of the property. The development pattern in the neighborhood is primarily residential development, and staff is recommending approval of the request to rezone the subject property from BC and RIPA to an RIPA zoning classification.
Questions of staff? Hearing none, we'll hear from the petitioner.
I'm going to be the shortest. Steve Jackson with the law firm of Manley Jackson. Thank you for staff's work on this. My client has done several redevelopments in and around the historic district. This is a site they've identified and are looking to do another wonderful development on the site. Thank you.
Right. Any questions of the petitioner? Hearing none, I'll open it up to board discussion. This is a very contentious group on the thing. I'm just kidding.
For approval,
I hear a motion for approval. I hear a second.
Second.
Okay. Let's go to the board to vote. Thank you. passes. Next item on the agenda is presentations, which we have none. Next item is all other business. And the only thing I'd like to add is I'd like to say thank you to the staff for having such a professional demeanor with regard to going forward in this last year. I don't think you've ever missed a step, as far as I can say. And I think I'm speaking for the board. If anybody else wants on the board would like to speak on this behalf, I certainly would entertain that. But I just want to say thank you for your efforts.
Thank you, sir.
The other item, I assume on our agenda items that the development plan submitted for review will be made as an attachment to this report. Board minute meetings, I mean, excuse me, and not necessary to read, is that correct? Okay. I'll adjourn this meeting.